I'm Bill Winston. Welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. Well, we're talking about winning the world, going out into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. You see, why should somebody hear it twice when other people have never heard it once? You see, God not only wants us to win our family and win our community and win our neighborhoods, but He wants us to win the whole world. And that is what He has in mind. He wants His family back. You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, God lost His family. Now He's getting them all back. But He needs us to do it. Now, not only can we go out and win the world, but He has given us power to witness. Now, what does that mean? That means He has given us miracle working ability to show the fact that whatever we say is true. We can show proof that Jesus still lives. Praise the Lord. Folks, when you see, people see proof. I mean, when somebody has some kind of debilitating disorder or disease that the doctors can't do anything for, and you pray for them and they get healed, or somebody, for example, has stepped the wrong way and maybe they've been incarcerated a while and you come out and get them a job, boom, right away. So these are miracles. These are things that convince people that God loves them. And that's what we need to be, a minister of reconciliation, to put people back in the right relationship with God. Well, get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. We're going to take some good notes now. Let's go into it. It's called Winning the World. Thousands of churches have never gone outside the four walls of the church building, because sometimes one of the reasons is that they have thought that the church building was the church, and it's not. The church is the people. We are the church. Now, we use the expression, I'm going to church, but you're going to a church meeting. You are the church. Wherever you go, the church goes. Okay? Now, so sometimes people are coming behind these four walls, see? And when they come in here, they act different, meaning that they leave the cigarette outside, the cussing outside, they leave all the, you know, so forth outside, and come in here and try to act real religious. Now, sometimes even they're looking for a place to hide. When I say hide, I mean a place to escape responsibility. And you'll find that when you get in here, God's going to have you to deal with whatever you need to deal with. Say amen to that. I mean, if you'll find that if you need to deal with some weight, you know, get some weight off, then He's going to have you deal with that. Come on now. See, it's not a place to escape responsibility. It's not a place to say, well, I'm a new creature and I ain't going to pay my child support. Yeah, you're going to pay it, and God's going to have you deal with it. You got what I'm saying? And some people don't get saved because they know they're going to have to own up to the responsibility of that. Now, also, people sometimes come in to stay insecure. They come in insecure. People tend to hibernate in behind four walls. Now, I'm only saying that because that's not what this is. The church is not four walls. This is what we have, the meeting place, and we want to keep this place in a reverential atmosphere, but you have church. You know, you can cover up the whiskey and have church in a bar. Come on. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I want you to see this, because they had church in the house in here, they had church so forth and so on. Had church, you can have church outdoors. I remember I was in Hawaii one time, and my wife and I said, well, why don't we go to church service? We found one, and they were outdoors. I kept looking for a building. I said, where y'all meet at? This is it, right? This is that church. Now, when I say hibernate for insecurity and having people come in and just hide those insecurities and hibernate there, I look at the word hibernate because I wanted to make sure I understood that, make sure you understand. Now, hibernate means to spend winter in close quarters, in a dormant condition. To spend winter in close quarters in a dormant condition. Dormant means inactive. So I looked at something like a bear. A bear hibernates. Well, what happens is a bear goes into a place for the winter, and that bear tank comes into that place, and when they hibernate, it's like all of their metabolism, their body processes, they tell me, slow down until they barely function. And that keeps them from needing water and all of that. I mean, they just hibernate. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just saying sometimes people come into church and they just hibernate. Now, understand, they are the church. And look what it says. Also, I looked up that word again, hibernate. It meant in another dictionary, it said, or that same one, another meaning, to withdraw or to be in seclusion. To withdraw or to be in seclusion. Now, this is not quite where God wanted us. See, He doesn't want us to hibernate. He doesn't want us to come into a place that feeds our insecurities. He doesn't want us to escape responsibility. He doesn't want us to hide from the public. Now, stay with me now. All right, let's go over to John's Gospel, John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. See, I'm glad I learned the ministry of reconciliation in a different way. I didn't learn in a church. I mean, a church was there, but I always felt that I was called out to the streets. And that's where we ministered for 3 years, out in the streets, on the sidewalk. My wife and I, she played the guitar, and I preached. And we got people healed, saved, so forth. Now, in time, of course, something opened up and building and so forth went inside. But boy, I tell you, I was preaching right outside. Now, at first, I started preaching condemnation at first, but God got a hold of me and woke me up and so forth. But look what it says in John chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Now, who's saying this? Jesus. How do you know it's Jesus? It's in the red. So He's saying, keep them above the evil. That's a literal translation. Don't take them out of the world. Lord, don't take them out of the world. See, and that a lot of folk want to look, I want to quit that job. They're cussing around there so much, I want to come work for the church. No, no, wait a minute. Let me read this again. Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world. You got to hear this. See, because you are a minister of reconciliation. The way they get back to God is by you being there. Look what it said in verse 16. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. So He's letting you know you're not of the world. You're in it, but not what? Of it. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. So we're going to be sent into the world. That's where we're going. So what we said is we got to get the right attitude about the world. And for us to get the right attitude about the world, we got to get the right attitude about ourselves. Let's go over to John's Gospel, please, and chapter 9. John chapter 9. Let me know when you get to John chapter 9. Now, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now notice what they're trying to point out. Come on now. All right. Master, who did what? Sin. So their mind and their focus is on where he missed it. They want to know where he sinned at. You got what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that we tend to minister out of our own heart, meaning that when we are condemned ourselves, we have a tendency to find fault with somebody else. Say amen to this. See, God is not condemned, so He only sees you like He sees you. See, He sees you this way. He sees you healed. He sees you with a perfect death. He sees so forth and so on. This is the way God sees us, and He ministers to us that way. God sees you rich. Say amen to that. God sees you winning. He sees you with a profitable business. He sees you, yeah, sees me a billionaire. You can give God a hand clap for that. Praise the Lord. Now, notice I point out sin. Watch Jesus' response. And Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. For as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." So when he had spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sin. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and what happened to his sight? He recovered his sight. Recovering of sight is the work of God, not blindness. Blindness is not the work of God. Recovering of sight is the work of God. Got it? Now, the enemy takes advantage of the fact that humanity has missed God. They have missed God. They have failed to appropriate the blessing of God. And because of that, they're in this area where the enemy can get a hold of them. And the next thing you know, they suffer the penalties of that. But God is in the healing business. God is in the restoration business. God is in the recovering business. Say amen to that. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Amen. You with me? Amen. Just follow along behind me. Don't follow too close, because I'm making some radical turns here. Praise the Lord. All right, let me know when you get there. John chapter 3. You look at verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life." So right there, who did God love? He loved the world. Now, notice what the religious people were doing. They were trying to keep the gospel from getting to the world. They were trying to keep the world from coming into covenant with God. So they're saying, "Well, wait a minute now. It's not for them. It's just for us. And we're going to do this, and this is what we're going to do." So now Jesus announces God's intent, that God so loved the who? World. Now, come on down to verse 17. "And God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So he didn't send us out to condemn the world, because they're already condemned. How do I know that? Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So people who don't know Jesus are condemned already. So we don't have to point out sin in their life. The first thing we need to do is point out how they can get saved. Now, understand, God would have people sometime to draw people to Christ. He would use a rebuke. And a rebuke could take place that people can be drawn to Christ. But for the most part, God brings good news so that people can hear something that they can believe in and come and get saved. Say amen to that. Amen. You see, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus, then the devil is running your life. Well, he ain't running my life. That's how much you don't know. You know, you are really deceived. If you don't know Christ, he is running your life, but the devil is running your life. Now, somebody might be praying for you, delivering you from some stuff, but most part, the devil has control of your mind, your life. And so what you got to do is get off that side. Now, my point is, when you come to people and you minister to them, remember that without Christ, they are not operating in the truth. They can't know the truth. These things are not for them. They are operating the best they know how. And being deceived, and don't know they're being deceived. Eve didn't eat Adam out of house and home because I don't like the way he's acting toward me. I'm gonna just eat this fruit. She didn't do it for any reason other than she was deceived. She thought she was gonna be helping by doing that. But it ended up that she was deceived. Now, my point is, how many people are deceived, think they're doing the right thing, but they're doing the wrong thing? Now, we can have a shot at that by going over here to Galatians. Come on over to Galatians, and come on over to Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1. Now, some people come in here and they don't want the truth. They don't want it. because they want to have somebody to blame. Come on now. And they want to have an excuse for their failures. And they don't want to improve their life. But you know, you can have a wound or something like that in your leg or something, and you go to the doctor. One of the first things the doctor will do is he'll lance that wound. Have you ever heard of that term before? That doctor will dig down in there because it's bacteria and mess down in there that you don't want to cover up. And God has a tendency to perform surgery on us, and he goes down in there and digs some stuff out, because if he covers that stuff up, it's going to infect your whole body. So what he's got to do is dig that thing out. Come on. Give you a new heart and a new mind. And you're going to have to do it. So just brace up and let God do what he needs to do. Say amen. Now, look what it says in Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, notice what Paul is doing here. Paul said he is an apostle, not of men. No man told him he is an apostle. God told him. And guess what? That was enough for him. So I'm telling you that you must validate who you are in Christ between you and God. If you're looking for a man to always validate, come on now, help me now. Because then what happens, if a man can tell you one thing, he can tell you something else. All right? I'm not saying you don't have roots and you don't have authority, but I'm saying basically when you go out there, you're going to have validated inside who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, there's some rascal out there that's willing to trick you and tell you something you don't eat. Is that me? I thought my pastor said, I don't have that. See, you go through all of that because you ain't never know what the truth was. You were just kind of mouthing something in here and sitting up in here, coming in here, just sitting up taking nourishment. You never made up your mind you're going to commit to this thing. And whatever God says you are, you are. Whatever he says you can do, you can do. Say amen to that. All right, look at the next part of that, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what did Paul come to do? Paul came, and his mission was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Hold something right there and look at Ephesians, please, and Ephesians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? In Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says here in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which God has before ordained that we should do what in them? Walk in them. Watch this. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, who is Paul talking about? Us. He's talking about the Gentiles. We had no covenant, strangers from the covenant, without hope and without God in the world. He was sent to that bunch. Now, we were worshiping moon gods, reading tarot cards, working witchcraft,
guy smoking reefer, got, come on now, got, we were doing all kinds of mess, but God chose Paul to get a revelation that we were to be brought in to his family and be in covenant with him. Now understand what Jesus brings out over in John chapter 15. He said, you didn't choose me. Come on, you didn't choose me. You didn't even know who I was. He said, I chose you. Now, you messing up out there, lying, signifying, telling lies as big as I don't know what, he still chose you. And chose you right in the middle of a lie. And then brought you in and started giving you the truth. And something about inside of you came alive, and you say, hey, I want to be saved. You came up, said the sinner's prayer, went and got baptized in Jesus' name, then filled with the Holy Ghost, and now start through the foundation classes and got a hunger for God, and now you're saying, I want more God. You see? Now, he just doesn't want you to sit up in here, because now he chose you, because the group that he chose first wouldn't go. They wouldn't even receive Jesus as the Son of God. But you know him as the Son of God. And he said, I'm going to graft you in. I'm going to use you. And I know they, listen, the Jews, don't think bad about it, the Jew, because the Jew took the scripture, the Torah, and carried it through the ages. They took it to the ages. Matter of fact, what you got is based on their foundation. Come on now. But now I've been chose. Say I'm chose. I'm chosen to go out there and tell everybody that Jesus lives, that he's the Son of the living God. He's the King of Kings.
Praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, it's talking about winning the world. You see, God wants us to go into all the world. He wants the world to know who he is. He wants the world to come back to him as a family. You see, when Adam sinned in that garden, everything was lost. I mean, the earth was lost. The family of God was lost. Even one third of the heavenly host was lost. But God got us back. How did he do it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will never perish, but have eternal life. That's the word that the world needs to hear. And when they hear it, and not only hear it, but you demonstrate it. Somebody may be sick. Somebody may have had hard times. Maybe need a financial blessing. And we demonstrate that to them, they can actually see God's love in action. I'm gonna tell you, it'll draw people to Christ. Well, you have all that ability right inside of you as a believer. The teachings are this winning the world are powerful teachings. Now, that address and phone number are on your screen. I want you to order that right away. This particular teaching is a powerful teaching because it helps that anointing to flow through your life. You might be waiting on some miracle in your finances or a miracle in your family. Sow a seed of evangelism and watch what happens. It's a powerful thing. That anointing will break through anything that's trying to hold your inheritance back. It's a powerful thing to do, just to tell somebody about Jesus, that he loves them. Well, this is all we have for this time. This is Bill Winston saying, we'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Attitude. It's how you think or feel. Attitude. It's your state of mind. Attitude. It's how you view the world and everything in it. Before you can start winning the world, you must have the right attitude.
Before you take a look at the world, you got to take a look at yourself. Because the attitude that you have about yourself affects what you think about other people.
Dr. Bill Winston reveals the power you have to change the world with this dynamic three-part series, Winning the World, The Right Attitude. Order your copy of Winning the World, The Right Attitude today, and Dr. Winston will explain the importance of thinking the right thoughts about yourself, others, and winning. The power you have to demonstrate love. Your ability to bring men back into right relationship with God, and much more.
You cannot save the world if the attitude that you have about the world is wrong.
To order your copy of Winning the World, The Right Attitude, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org.
The Living Word Prayer Ministry is offering a 10-week intercessory prayer class beginning May 7th. This training course will help you grow in your personal relationship with God through prayer. Class topics include how to pray God's Word, how to listen for the Holy Spirit and follow His promptings, the various kinds of prayer, such as the prayer of petition, prayer of dedication, prayer of praise and worship, and much more. Classes begin Saturday, May 7th at the Living Word Christian Center Auditorium, 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Classes are free, but registration is required. For more information, call 708-697-5061 or register online at www.livingwd.org. Dr. Bill Winston presents Living Word.
Sure feels fabulous.
With the new CD entitled Released.
We are speaking over you tonight. You are officially released.
Live music recording of a new kind of kingdom music. Released. Available now at Royal Christian Bookstores and Cafes in Forest Park, Illinois. Online at www.billwinston.org or call 1-800-711-9327. Also available on iTunes. A new kind of kingdom music.
Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.